thank you for the Bible, Lord. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your prophets, Lord, and the truth that we have heard. And we praise you for your Spirit, Lord, you send to comfort us. But most of all, we praise you for the blood of Yahshua. Gracious Heavenly Father, righteous Heavenly Father, God of gods and no other, I praise you. Savior, O Israel's kinsman redeemer, we praise you. Thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your prophets, Lord, and the truth that we have heard. And we praise you for your Spirit, Lord, you send to comfort us. But most of all, we praise you for the blood of Yahshua.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 90-minute live radio broadcast. Today is the 7th day of February, 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Check and Adjust. Before we begin, we dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel, and therefore his sons and daughters became known as Israelites. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. If you have any comments during the program or after, please send them to this email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. I will attempt to check it from time to time during the program in case something comes in during the next 90 minutes. First and foremost, let's go to Psalm 97, verse 10. You who love Yahweh and hate evil, he preserves the souls of his saints, meaning his called out ones. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Praise Yahweh. It's a good thing he's true to us, unlike us to him or to each other many times. Also, I'd like to read John 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. And the Greek word one there is talking about unity. One. Emmanuel means what? God with us. Isaiah 33 and 22 says what? He's not only our judge, our king, and our lawgiver, he will be, future tense, our savior. Exodus 34, verse starting at verse 10, he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been worked in all the earth, nor in any nation," meaning group of people. "And all the people among which you shall see the work of Yahweh, for it is an awesome thing that I do with you. Observe that which I command you today. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Be careful lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in the middle of you or amongst you. But you shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars, and you shall cut down their Asherah poles. For you shall worship no other god, for Yahweh, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Interesting. And when you look up the word, it's translated God in your Bibles, you will find Elohim is a plural. And for you folks that aren't familiar with English grammar, plural means more than one. So even though in our Bibles it's singular, God, the Hebrew word is plural, Elohim. Anything with the im on the end, like the Egyptians were known as the Mezarim, it means more than one. And yet in the English we chose a singular term for that plural. If you go to the lexicons, you will find that that exact same word is often referring to rulers, judges, divine ones, and in certain cases, godlike ones, or a special possession of Yahweh himself. And I have to admit, I'm a little confused this morning. My title for the program, Check and Adjust, comes from where I worked for many years in the electrical power industry, and I'm retired now. But we had a catchphrase that we used quite often, and it was check and adjust. Meaning if we had something that broke down in the plant, and our technicians would go out and try to fix it, we would come up with a plan of attack to figure out what had broken and how to fix it. And then we would do from time to time during the night, when all hell had broken loose and everybody is clamoring for the fix to come in, because after all, they're losing money as long as the turbine's not turning, we would do what we called a check and adjust. Basically, it means stop for a minute and see if there are good fruits from what you believe to be true. Are you progressing in the right direction? Are you getting closer to fixing the problem? And if not, then adjust what you're doing. Check and adjust. And brothers and sisters, I kind of feel that maybe today is a check and adjust time for myself. Because I've been doing this for a very long time. And Yahweh has revealed many, many things to me. And again, I'm not saying that as if I'm somebody special or to be revered, etc., because I'm just a man. I love Yahweh with all my heart. I have since I was a little boy. But that doesn't mean I'm perfect. I've had people say, "Why do you call yourself pastor?" Because they find some obscure verse in the Bible, and claim that that makes me somewhat pretentious and self-absorbed. Well, take it away then. Just call me Dan. I don't need to be called Pastor Dan. a congregation in the state of New Jersey ordained me their pastor way back in 1995. And so it sort of stuck. But I don't need it. Don't use it. If you think by that title that makes me perfect or having all the answers, then drop it and just call me Daniel. That was the name my mother and father gave me when they dedicated me to Yahweh as a baby. And I've cherished my full name, my given name, because it's all from biblical terms and has significant biblical meaning. That means much more to me than a title like pastor or preacher. I share what I know with my brothers and sisters, whether on the radio or in person. I was privileged to meet a young man last night in a most unlikely situation. And out of nowhere, I found out he was a believer in the community here. And he's thirsting for truth. Thirsting for truth. So much so that he wanted to know about the website, the radio show, and if I would teach him. I said, I will teach anybody truth, because that's what we're supposed to be about. Representing our Heavenly Father to those around us. In other words, being living Bibles to the people around you. So it came to my attention that maybe it's time for a check and adjust for me personally and for us as believers. Don't use the word Christian, because that's been mucked up by the Jews and everybody else. Don't use Christian identity for the same reason. It's been denigrated by our enemies. I just use identity message because it teaches the true identity, and I'm a believer in the Father, because he is the creator. I worship nothing that was created, but only the creator, and we are admonished to do that exact same thing. So the reason for a check and adjust is because, as I said, many of us have been doing this for decades, trying to wake our people up about the political demise of our country, the rising tyranny, the breakdown and apostasy of the so-called believers because of the whitewashed sepulchers called churches today. Sepulcher, of course, is a tomb. So pretty churches, whitewashed on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones, spiritually speaking. Dead. And so it occurred to me that we've talked to the nth degree about the problems and the people causing the problems. For instance, we've come to find out that the Oregon State Police that murdered Lavoie Finicum, and they did, they murdered him in cold blood. But is it surprising when we find out that they were trained by Israelis? And that's a typical MO of an Israeli, is to commit murder in cold blood, just as they do the Palestinians on a daily basis, and have been doing it for a very long time. While the hypocrites who call themselves believers or Christians look the other way, because after all, it's Jews doing it. Just as they want us to look the other way and pay attention to a football game today and the caucuses for the election and all this, it's all a diversion. They don't want you to focus on the fact that it was Israeli-trained henchmen who gunned down an innocent man, a grandfather. Because in their mind, we're nothing more than cattle. And because this particular cow stepped out of line by challenging the Jews and their authority in our land, he needed to be put down just like a cow in the field. Any surprise there? And for any of you other law enforcement that take your training from the very people that Christ himself condemned over and over and over, doesn't seem to bother you people? The world is aware of the atrocities the Jews commit. And yet in America, we still worship them. That's idol worship. There's nothing to worship about a Jew. Christ condemned them. We should condemn them. Our founding fathers condemned them, for crying out loud. So my point being, we know who the problem is and who's at the root of it. I think we've talked it to death. I believe it's time for a check and adjust, and maybe we need to look at solutions. Get off these computers and behind these mics, and let's start working for solutions. We've talked many times about the fact that at the end of the age, it would be as in the days of Noah, and it's my belief that Father wants us to prepare arks. In this day and age, that ark would be what? A community. A community where believers could gather together and come out of Babylon. Learn to grow our own food, raise our own farm animals, purify our own water, and defend the borders of our property, believing the Father will honor that work and put a hedge of protection, a wall of angels with flaming swords around that property. That's what I believe. You can believe whatever you want. Believe whatever you want. And like I said, I determined a long time ago the only reason for doing these programs was to share truth that was revealed to me. That's all. Never claimed to be perfect. Did the best I could not to put down a brother or throw a stumbling block in front of another. If I did, I apologize, but that was never my intention. And I will have to admit that there was a bit of surprise this morning when I turned Eurofolk Radio on and listened to what I listened to. Surprised and somewhat shocked. Enough so that it makes me think that maybe I need to do a check and adjust about even doing radio broadcasts. The scripture says there would come a time when the watchman would be silenced. It doesn't say how they're silenced or even why they're silenced. It just says silenced. God only knows that there's been enough wailing from the watchman on the walls about the tyranny and the things that are falling apart. There's been enough wailing and teaching about who's causing these problems. But little is actually done about it. Yahweh has presented me with a few opportunities to work with some people to build communities. And maybe that's where I'll focus my attention from now on. People that want to do something instead of just talk about it. Take a chance. Step out on the wild side. And people say, well, they'll just come after you. Really? And like they're not going to come after us now? Like they're not going to attack a completely innocent man in Oregon with his hands in the air, surrendering himself? Like they wouldn't attack a church in Waco, Texas and burn the elders and the children in there alive and gun them down? Like they wouldn't attack a little family in Idaho, a man, his friend, his wife, and little children, and even a baby? Like they wouldn't attack that? Like they wouldn't destroy an entire building in Oklahoma City, killing 300-some children, and a federal judge who knew what was going on, made sure he was in there when it went down? You mean they wouldn't do that? And you're going to worry that if we build a community that it'll be attacked? I said a long time ago, Father, if I got to walk this walk that you put before me all by myself, I will do it. Because I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to fit in. I'm here to teach as it's taught to me, with a love of the truth within and a hatred of evil, a hatred of anyone out there who takes advantage of another, a hatred of those who commit murder, a hatred of those who would kidnap another human being, a hatred for those who commit rape, because my Father says that that's what we're supposed to do. And even without a Bible, even if I had never even seen a Bible, that hatred would still be within me, because Yahweh put his laws in our hearts if you belong to him. Many truths are self-evident. You don't need a teacher to tell you that. I know many of us here go into the Greek and the Hebrew, and we try to tell you what these scriptures are saying to take away some of the doubts and some of the confusion. And it's an honest effort as we seek truth. But folks, if you belong to Yahweh, a lot of this should be self-evident. We know that there's a lot wrong. So as Yahweh's leading me to look at a possible check and adjust, perhaps you and your life should do the same. Just a thought, just a suggestion. But I told my father a long time ago that if you open a door, and I believe that door is being opened by you, I will run through it. Run through it. We know it's the end of the age. Take a look around you. We talked about the verse that said that the people and the rulers were drunk on the beast's luxuries and delicacies. A lot of people seem to be confused by that, but folks, take a look around you. Even the poorest people in our Western societies have delicacies in their life that kings could not even own or possess or enjoy a few hundred years ago. Think about that. We do enjoy delicacies handed to us by the beast. All we have to do is sign over our souls, sign over our allegiance, sign over our promise to obey the beast, use their Babylonian money system, use their Babylonian tagging system with all of the bureaucracy and documentation. I was just sent word that they're getting ready to enforce needing a passport even to travel within the United States. It's another form of control. And so the noose is getting tighter. The corral around the sheep is closing in on us. Another sign of the times. I'm not going to worry about it, because I also know that as that happens, Father will open doors for his children, just as he did for Noah and his righteous family. And that's why I believe he's opening doors now. That's why I believe that possibly this check and adjust period may be for a quantum change in how we address the problems. We know what the problems are. We could talk endlessly about them. Every day they multiply, so much so that it causes confusion and even headaches and despair in many of our people. We should be looking at it completely opposite. These are signs that our redemption are near. These are signs that the Father told us, I am coming. And maybe that is why, when I tuned into the station this morning to hear what I heard, it was meant to be. And I have to admit that there was a part of me that was actually even getting angry at what I was hearing, because I just don't believe we're supposed to do those sorts of things, especially to each other. But then I stopped and I said, well, wait a minute. Who am I? I'm not going to judge my brothers, because I know they're smart men. Their hearts are in the right place. Maybe they were led to say what they said. Maybe everything's at my doorstep as far as blame. But it left me with the feeling that maybe I need to go and walk my walk alone again. I've done it for a very long time. No reason why I shouldn't do it again. It was almost like it was an act of the Father, the way the radio station through TalkShoe disappeared off my computer. I could not get it back. I could not get it to work. The computer technicians told me that there was no explanation for it, and several other programs that wouldn't work right. So I just accepted it that Father didn't want me on there. So maybe this is my check and adjust that I need to walk alone. Because as he opens doors, I plan on going through them, even if I have to go through them alone. It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. My trust has always been in the Father, first and foremost. And he has walked with me. I know that for a fact. And I'll put my trust in him before any institution, or arm of flesh in the here and now. And that means any. I believe he has used me for certain purposes. I believe with all my heart that he will continue to do so, as there is a growing element of believers that have come into my circle of friends and brothers and sisters who want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I don't care if it's only 24 people. I would rather take my stand with those 24 believers, gathered together and of one accord, than anything this world would offer. The scripture tells us that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, the love of money, or the things that money buys. We call it materialism today. And as you love those material things and money, it's a form of idolatry because that has become your God. Those Oregon state policemen that gunned down Mr. Finnicum love their jobs, their badges, and their paychecks, and the prestige they think they're owed because they're state troopers. They love that more than righteousness. They listen to demon-possessed, murderous Israelis who were their instructors more than their own consciences and their own upbringings. Or at least, I sure hope they were brought up to believe murder was wrong. So what changed their mind that now, all of a sudden, the murdering of an innocent man and nearly killing his entire entourage, what possesses people like that to think that that's okay? They've taken over and gone over to the dark side. That's the only way you can do that. You can't have a conscience and gun down an innocent person. You can't do it. You don't have a conscience. And scripture tells us at this point in time, there would be many who would, what does scripture say? They would no longer blush when they commit sin. Oh, that's right. Well, we know sin is transgression of Yahweh's law. And yet we have people thinking that the Old Testament is a Jewish book and they throw it away. Well, how do you determine what sin is then, folks? The law tells you what sin is, because sin is transgression of the law. If you don't know the law, you don't even know that you're sinning. The law says thou shalt not commit murder, very plainly. But you're a New Testament church, and God's all love, and he's going to forgive you for gunning down Mr. Finnegan. No, he's not. No, he's not. You're under judgment. Personally, I pray that those who were involved with that murder end up with detestable events happening in their lives. May the people that committed that murder, their bodies develop disease. May their minds become diseased, because they are a disease amongst us. Any person with a personality and a character that would allow murder of innocent people is a diseased person. Now, the Antichrist, represented by his children, the Jews, they've got powerful media, and they want to paint us as mentally deficient. Do you ever read that? That, oh, if you were a veteran, even though the Jews create all these wars to make money, but if you're a veteran of a war, you're potentially mentally ill. Well, the Jew loves that. They got to take advantage of you and send you off into wars so that Jews could make more money or take over another country. And then when you come back, they label you so that now you need psychotropic drugs. Well, they make money there. You need to see a psychiatrist for analysis. Oh, they make money there because psychiatry is a false teaching and a false science, predominantly by Jews. So they win there. And eventually, they'll come to kill you. So they win there, too, because you're just cattle to them. Shabbos goyim, stupid cattle, to be used, abused, and then eventually butchered to feed them. Sounds cruel, but it's true. Just look at events. Look at history. Get your head out of that idiot box or away from your damn computers and your games long enough and you might figure it out. Or you can choose to stay in your ignorance and worship the beast and those who do the work of the beast. Choice is yours. But it's not just me that needs to do a check and adjust at this time. It's all of you too. You need to decide which way you're going to go. You need to decide on whose turf you will take your stand and who will be in your circle of brothers and sisters taking that stand. Me personally, I'm tired of all the backbiting, the bickering, the fighting, and even the doctrinal differences and using it as a club to go after each other. I'm sick and tired of it. It's been my prayer of late that, Father, open those doors. Show us the arcs, Father. Show us where you want us to go and let us come out. Because we can only come out of this by your hand. And Father Yahweh, you need to open those doors for us now. Many of us want to come out of this system. And we need divine help to do that. And by his mercy and his strength, we shall do that. I can't say for sure what's going to happen over the next week, 2 weeks, whatever, but I do know there's a leading of the Spirit quite different than it's ever been before. For decades, I've felt Yahweh pressing upon me the need to wake up my brothers and sisters. Wake them up to the tyranny. Wake them up to the lies in the churches and the liars behind the pulpits and the liars in the news media. We've done that. We've been screaming that. Judgment is about ready to come upon this earth because we have done enough harm, not only against our Father's law, but against Mother Nature herself. It demands judgment because we have chosen to follow a false God. We have chosen to be lied to. We have chosen to elect misfits and perverts to office. We have chosen to allow sheriffs to get away with unconstitutional acts when we know that they are our last line of defense against tyranny, other than we ourselves. We have chosen that. And for those constitutional sheriffs and police officers out there, we have chosen not to support them. Well, I'm doing a check and adjust, and I am going to support them. And I'm going to do everything I can to build communities, no matter what size they are. They don't need to be very big, but they're going to be a refuge for true believers who know how to behave themselves. Because if they don't, then they will be asked to leave. Just as Noah would not allow any unrighteous onto his ark, we shall not allow the unrighteous into our communities. We will test everyone who wants to join. We don't need any interlopers. We don't need any informants. We don't need any spies. We sure as hell don't need any apostates amongst us. The armies of the ancient Israelites were invincible. No matter what their numbers were, when they obeyed Father Yahweh, there is our template for success. Yahweh has opened up some doors and brought some people into my life of late that I will pursue in the effort to do exactly what I just said, to build communities of believers, support the constitutional sheriffs and law enforcement officers, because they believe in the law as we do. Because the law above all law is our Father's law. William Blackstone said it eloquently back in the 1600s. It's a shame they don't teach him in our law schools anymore. But then again, our law schools are full of Jews. What do they care about the jurists whose philosophies were the foundation of what America was to become? They hate that. They love their father, Diablos, Shatan. In the English, Satan. Just as Joe Cortina in his book, John 8:44, Exposing the Sons of Satan, and many other military people I have been able to talk to over the years, who actually spent time in Israel. Those people are despicable. But as the testimony of just how demonic and satanic those people are, and what bloodthirsty murderers they are, as that becomes known, it also tells us the mentality of our government and our law enforcement leaders that they would invite such demonic beasts into our country to train those that we trust with badges and guns. Is that sick or what? That is just almost mind-numbing that people with an IQ above room temperature would not be able to figure out that these people are not the people to be training anybody. So good people of good conscience sit around and say, how can they gun down a man such as Lavoie and then sleep at night? How do they do that? Or Lon Hurucci, who murdered Vicky Weaver and then showed up in Waco to help murder more innocent people. They don't have a conscience. I've met people like that. You know, the scripture tells us there's people like that. I've known lots of folks saying, well, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. You see, that's one of the downsides of our people. We look at the world as if everything on two legs is just like us. No, they're not. As the young man I met yesterday, as we engaged in discussion, and I told him, I said, what did our Messiah say about the path that leads to salvation? It is narrow, and few travel thereon. And then I said, how about the path that leads to destruction? It is wide, and many travel thereon. So don't be surprised, folks. I hear all kinds of people with all kinds of angst in their voices because, well, they're just not waking up, and we're trying, and we're... Folks, do you think Noah and his family, over the long period of time it took to build their ark, do you think perhaps they tried to convince some of the townspeople that they're doing wrong and that they should repent? By the way, the word repent is a Greek word that means to change the way you think. Change your priorities. Nowhere in scripture and nowhere in common sense does it say the vast majority of these rocks that walk amongst us are ever going to change. What Yahweh wants to see is what his people are going to do. We've talked about that on this program many times. This life, folks, that you've been given is a test. It was a gift, but it's also a test. What are you going to do with it? As Laura Ferez Wilson said on her program here a week or so ago, hey, folks, I got news for you. None of us are getting out of this alive. Do you understand the meaning behind that? You see, Satan and his kids want you to be consumed with the thought of living forever, actually. They promise you drugs and surgeries and everything to keep you looking younger and to keep you alive. Not healthy. They never said they would keep you healthy. They said they would keep the body alive. Whereas Yahweh and his laws and his ways will give you the life that he promised, as it says in Scripture, 120 years now, because we're bad people. We're prone to sin and do harmful things. He shortened our lives down to 120 years. His promise was a healthy, vibrant, prosperous 120 years, which is very attainable if you follow his laws. And one of his laws is the food laws. Satan and his kids tell you everything out here in the world that they put on the shelf at the grocery store is food for you. No, it's not. No, it's not. I don't care how much you put dye in it to pretty it up and put a label on there saying it's certified this or that. It's not all food for you. And the greatest and biggest offender of that is the eating of the pig, pork, sausage, bacon, pork chops, eating the pig. I can't tell you how many people see no problem eating the pig. And yet, when they get those ailments that start hitting them in their 50s and 60s, and they wonder why. When Yahweh said our bodies were to be fit and vigorous until we're 120, and then he just takes us home. It's no mystery there, people. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Be ye doers. My testimony to you is the fact that all of my life I have attempted to be a doer of Father's word. Every time he brought a truth into my life, whether it was about health or about scripture, I made a sincere attempt to change my life to incorporate that truth. And I'm here to tell you, there's a blessing that comes with that. The first blessing is knowing that Father loves you enough that he revealed it to you. Second blessing is the fact that you now feel a closer relationship to the Father. The third blessing is that you notice that you feel better, spiritually, physically. And then you get another blessing when you share it with another person. And you see their life changed as well. We as a people need to do a check and adjust. We need to put the brakes on here for a minute. We're all consumed with what the enemy is doing. And there's a lot of misinformation that the enemy puts out themselves. Who do you think owns Facebook, people? The CIA owns it. That is verifiable fact, okay? That's not hearsay. That's not conspiracy theory. That is fact. And I'm going to guarantee you, if they own Facebook, they own a whole lot of other things. And that German journalist that became a whistleblower recently told us the same thing. Virtually every news agency is told what to report, what not to report, and how to report the news to you. And it's the, quote, intelligence agencies of the various Western nations that are telling them what to put there for you to consume. It's called keeping the sheep in line. Feed them lies and distortions that tickle their ears to keep them pacified. Put fluoride in their water to keep them pacified. The same way we put fluoride in the gulag water systems for the white Russian Christians that we sent off to the gulags. That's what the Jews did. And they put a byproduct of making aluminum called fluoride in the water because they found out that it makes people docile, makes them pliable, makes them sit around in front of computers rather than picking up rifles with bullets. Got to give Satan's kids credit. It's worked, hasn't it? You see, there was a day when elements of the government ambushed a small group of patriots, unarmed, on their way to a meeting, and ended up murdering one of them in cold blood, would have had thousands of people in the streets, armed, demanding justice be done. We shall see, huh? Make no mistake about it. When Yahweh tells us in Scripture that our ground is cursed until the innocent blood has been vindicated? It's not lying. Our land is cursed. Take a look around you. America's a cesspool today. Because we've got the blood of how many millions of innocent children taken out of their mother's wombs. Their blood cries out from the ground, no different than Abel's blood. Now no different than Lavoy Finicum. Now no different than Sammy and Vicky Weaver. Now no different than the children and the federal judge and the others killed in the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. No different than all the children and senior citizens who died in Waco. There's a lot of innocent blood that has not been vindicated. For whatever reason, Yahweh has put off the punishments that's deserved to be put upon these people. That's his call, not mine. And again, I think that's one reason why I'm doing this check and adjust, that maybe this is time to be silent. Put down the microphone, put down the computer, and start building fences. Start building homes, modest homes. Start building gardens. Start putting in spring houses the way my ancestors did. Perhaps we've reached the time when those that are going to awaken have awoken. The rest will never wake up. How many years have we told you you're going to see many of your friends, family, associates perish? Because by their own will, they have decided to turn away from the truth and to turn away from our Father. That's their will. That's their decision to do that. They will die in their decision. The Antichrist wants us to think that what I'm talking about is impossible. I'm here to tell you it's not only possible, it is highly doable. It just takes people of like mind to get together and decide to do it. That's all. That's all it takes. And I've learned many years ago that if you can push aside what the Antichrist is trying to do and all of the misinformation and all of the self-doubt, if you can push through that and do what he tells you, put his word into action, you'll be blessed. Because in the human realm, it's fear. Oh my God, fear the beast. Fear what my neighbors might say. Oh my God, they might call me a name. Oh, horror of horrors. If you can get through all that, though, there's a blessing. Do you think Phinehas, the priest, spoken of in the old parchment, do you think he had a little bit of consternation as he picked up that javelin when the whole congregation of the Israelites was there weeping about their sorry condition? And here was a prince of Israel, meaning a high official, taking his alien wife, meaning not of his race, into his tent for some afternoon delight. Do you think for a minute that Phinehas might have said to himself, wow, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to take out this prince. They could lynch me for that. They could stone me for that. They could maybe even call me bad names. Oh my. But what did Phinehas do? Phinehas said that this is an abomination. And we're here praying for our Father to cleanse our land. And this leader decides it's okay to violate his law before us and before the Father. And Phinehas went in and he took that javelin and he put it right down through the two of them at the same time. So you know what they were doing. Now my question to you is, did our Father condemn Phinehas for that action? Or did he reward him? If you're a reader of the scriptures, you know the answer to that question. father not only blessed him, he blessed his family, his posterity, because of his great faith. And even when all of his human senses were telling him it was a scary thing to do, it was, oh my gosh, I don't have a right to do this, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, no, this is a great sin, and it needs to be stopped. Do you know what happened? Did you ever read the story? Because when Phinehas had the courage to do that, the rest of the Israelites rose up and brought punishment, meaning execution, to thousands of their people committing the same crime. Do you think in America today and every other Western nation that if the people would rise up and bring about Yahweh's law, demand that it be implemented, and that the criminals be punished, do you think Yahweh would bless that or curse that? Think about that for a minute, because it's vitally important that you do. We often read Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, because it's very edifying. We also read the 91st Psalm, which is known as the Soldier's Psalm, because it tells you that as you go forth as a soldier of Yahweh, that you will see the wicked fall at your side by the thousands, and at your right side by the tens of thousands. That's a lot of people, folks. But it will not come unto you. Or is it that you don't believe that? All these years, I've wanted to build communities. I've wanted us to come together. But it wasn't time. And so I've had to be patient. I get the feeling that we're very close to the time. Now, those other psalms are very important, but this psalm is also very important, especially in light of our topic for today. And it's the 149th, Psalm 149. Sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. You see that? Assembly of the saints. Doesn't say by ourselves, scattered around like salt. Maybe it's time for the salt to come back together. Let Israel, meaning the people, us, the Israelites, Israel. This is not that country, that litter box in the Middle East. That is an habitation of every foul spirit. That's what Scripture says. That's what Jerusalem and that country over there had become. That is not the Israel spoken of here. Let Israel rejoice. Other words, that means people. Countries can't rejoice. People rejoice. This Israel is Jacob and Jacob's children. That's us. Let Israel, the people, rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Oh, it's funny. It doesn't say in their Congress, in their president, in their cabinet, their parliament, or the queen. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king, the king who made them. Let them praise his name in the dance, his name. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let's stop there for a minute in verse 4. He crowns the humble with salvation. I'm willing to bet that most of you have forgotten the definition of humility. You know, the scripture said, pride goeth before the fall. Pride. Self-value. self-absorption, but he crowns the humble. It doesn't say he crowns the pontificating mouthpiece or the showboat or the egotist or the one proclaiming, look, look over here at me because I'm your leader. I'm your teacher. I'm this or that. Instead, he says, I crown the humble. I'm going to tell you something. Our people have completely lost the ability to humble themselves. And I'm going to tell you something else now that I think about it. And again, I'm not here to make friends. I really don't give a darn if you believe me or you don't believe me. I don't really care what you decide to do with your life because you're not going to answer to me. You're going to answer to him. The fellow that I met that was seeking truth as if he was starving. He was starving. I could see it in his eyes. I could hear it in his voice. He wanted the truth whether it hurt or not. He hungered for truth, and he was disgusted at what this society had been, has become. And he was in his 30s. He was also not a DNA Israelite. Though he may have had some Abrahamic blood in him, he was not pure Israelite. And yet, that spirit within his body was an old soul, as we say. For a 30-some-year-old man, he had wisdom beyond his years, and he thirsted for the truth. He reminded me of the woman spoken of in the book of Matthew that tugged on the robes of our Master, the Christ, begging for her daughter to be healed, and Christ ignored her. Ignored her, but she persisted. Even so much did she annoy that the disciple said, Yahweh, Yahshua, send her away. It's not good for me to give the children's meat to dogs. Dog, of course, is a biblical term for a non-Israelite. But she persisted, and what did she say? Are not even dogs worthy of their master's crumbs from their table? Now, that sounds derogatory. How does that play out in the world we live in today? I witnessed it last night. I witnessed it last night. And I believe, Father, let me see this because we have so many amongst our ranks that want to preach the DNA of the Israelites only. And what's it say in Scripture about the end of the age? That Yahweh would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh of his choosing. Of his choosing. Are we to turn away those who show the Spirit of Yahweh and a thirst for truth? Are we to turn them away because they don't pass muster of being of our race? You better think about that, folks, because we got a lot of people pontificating the whiteness of the Israelites. But I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody that was white was an Israelite, were they? Because the Israelites were a subset of the white race, weren't they? Think about it. Think hard about what I'm telling you. The Israelites were a subset. They did not include all of the white race. They were a special people, no doubt about it. His peculiar ones, yep, that's for sure, with a special commission. Yes, we do. We are his elect. We are the ones to carry forth, what? Yahweh's law upon this earth. But it does not mean that the others are not worthy of a blessing should they bless Abraham's children. You better remember that. You better remember that really, really well. Because if you don't, you may find out that the ark that the Father had prepared for you, you will not be able to enter. Pride goeth before the fall. He crowns the humble with salvation. That word salvation doesn't mean in the hereafter. It means a saving from harm here on earth now. Verse number 5, let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Hallelujah. May the high praises of Elohim God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. To execute vengeance on the nations, countries, and punishments on the peoples. Punishment for murder on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And a fetter is a shackle, what we would call a shackle, or perhaps even handcuffs in today's language. To execute on them the written judgment, all his saints have this honor. How about that? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples is an honor. To bind their kings or their magistrates or government officials with chains and their aristocrats with fetters of iron in order to execute on them the written judgment is an honor. Where are the Israelites that are going to do this? Where are the believers in the Most High who are going to do this? This honor hath all his saints praise Yah. Tomorrow is the Chinese New Year. The only reason I know that is a dear friend told me about that. Why do I think that might have some significance? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm going to keep that to myself. There's a lot of things going on today, folks. Many of the things that I've been told, I cannot and will not tell you over this medium. I will let the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father speak to his children. They'll know. I don't need to tell you. I would also remind my brothers and sisters about the warning given to Father that says that he abhors those who cause a division amongst the brotherhood. He also admonishes those that would throw stumbling blocks before their brothers and sisters. You ought not do that. And for me, I'm not quite sure what the result of my check and adjust exactly how that's going to turn out. There'll be much prayer, much thought, much communication with those I'm in communication with that I trust, because I know they also are old spirits, souls that are definitely from our Father. People who love truth and honor and justice. And together we will learn line upon line and precept upon precept, and we will decide how to go forth. It's kind of funny because I had not really anticipated the program as it turned out today. But then again, all things work to the good for those who love the Father. And I'm here to tell you, I love the Father more than any of you. I love the Father more than this life itself. I would encourage you to do the same. And I'm not a perfect man. God only knows. But my love for the Father is a perfect love. And I'm sick and tired of the divisions, of the bickering, of the fighting. And now I'm even tired of talking about the enemy as if we don't have any power ourselves. Yeah, we know the Jews are behind all this. I mean, anybody with a brain can figure that out. It's everywhere. And Christ himself told us 2,000 years ago who they were. But we let these modern-day preachers who come out of these cemeteries, oh, you call them a seminary, but they're actually cemeteries, we allowed them to deceive us. Shame on us for that. So enough about what the enemy's doing. Going forward, I want to do something about it. I want to get our people off their asses, out from in front of their televisions and computers, and let's start building. Because Babylon is going to fall, people. That's not a joke. That's not an illusion. It's not an allegory. It's a fact. Come out of her, my beloved. Come out of her, my people, that you do not partake of her plagues. Those plagues are coming. They've already started, and it's going to get a lot worse. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, praise and glory be to thy name. I ask, Father, if there's any dross within me that, like silver, you would burn it away. Whatever that fire takes form of, Father, then that's your will. But burn it away, because this is a critical time, Father. And we need to be pure silver. All of us. We ask for your protection. We ask for your guidance. We ask for you to open those doors of opportunity that we could go forth in trust of you and in love and reverence of you, not caring what the enemy's doing. Don't care what Pharaoh is up to. Don't care what Caesar is up to. Don't care what Congress and the abomination are doing or plan to do. We know what your plan is. Let's stick to our plan and let the others go to hell. That's their destination. Let them go. Forgive us our transgressions, Father. Forgive us our petty human frailties. Help us to look past grievances, the slaps on the face as referred to in Scripture, and seek out brotherhood. Seek out family. Seek out communities, that we could come out of Babylon, because her time is short. We pray, Father, the message would reach the ears of those that it's meant to. We pray a blessing upon all the souls that walk this earth that love truth and justice above all things. Guide us, strengthen us. Take away the spirit of fear and replace it with a spirit of encouragement. We ask that you guide us in all that we say and do, Father, for your kingdom and for our people. And we ask this in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.
To understand. then turn away from all their wicked ways. Then I will hear them and know my land. And freely then will I forgive, and I will heal their land. And I will heal their land. 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 You can hear it in the distance. You can feel it in the air. You can tell the time is coming. You can sense it everywhere. You can see it in the faces. All around you see the signs. America is changing. Freedom's on the line. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand?
Winter, we praise Yahweh for spring. We praise Yahweh for a summer day and the fruits the harvest brings. And we praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in every little thing. But most of all, we praise Yahweh within the prayers and the songs we sing. We praise Yahweh for
the good and the bad in everything. We praise Yahweh for the summertime, fall, winter, and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing.
When stubborn doors won't open and you're restrained from passing through, when hearts and minds get broken and you don't know what to do, that's when you realize that your spirit cries and the Father's there for you. So sing your songs and pray your prayers unto the one who is always true.
We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad and everything. We praise Yahweh for the summertime, fall, winter, and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing.
Now wine can make you stumble, and pride can make you fall, and it's bound to make you humble if you've ever lost it all. But if you trust in faith and His saving grace, you shall rise and hear His call. So in all things give Him thanks and praise, winter, springtime, summer, and fall.
Praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in everything. We praise Yahweh for the summertime, fall, winter, and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing.